Good morning, it's time for the K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us this morning is Frontier Extension District Adult Development and Aging Family Resource Management Agent Janae McNally. Good morning, Janae.
Good morning.
Now, the person that I guess nobody else maybe thinks about when they're taking care of other people is themselves, and you've got a lot of tips on that today.
We do. Yeah, good morning. So I've had several conversations lately with others talking about the toll caregiving takes on the caregiver. And yeah, like you said, we usually just think about the person we're caring for, but it really does take a toll on the caregiver. And it's really got me thinking about how things that the caregiver carries on throughout the day. So, you know, hearing these stories of things that the current caregiver used to do and has had to give up should not be acceptable. You know, I found some tips through the National Institute for Caregiving that hopefully can help those caregivers out there take care of themselves. So one thing talks about, as we know, some may already know, that taking care of yourself is often the most important thing you can do as a caregiver. For example, taking care of your, you know, eating what you're eating, when you're eating, staying active, and taking time for yourself. You need to have your cup filled before you can fill others. That saying is so true. So you've got to take care of yourself first. And dealing with the feelings of maybe some frustration and a little guilt might also be what the caregiver might experience, especially if you're from a distance. It's likely to bring out many different emotions, both positive and negative. You know, maybe feeling frustrated and angry with maybe the person who is caring for the person, that you're trying to care for from afar, from the recipient to the doctors, it is common experience. Anger should be a sign that maybe you're a little overwhelmed or that you're trying to do too much. If you can, try to give yourself a break. Maybe you take a walk, maybe, you know, with a friend, get some good sleep. Try to do something for yourself. And although they may not feel as physically exhausted and drained as the primary hands-on caregiver, those long-distance caregivers, again, may still be worried and anxious, you know, maybe losing some sleep. Sometimes that long-distance caregivers feel the guilt and of not being close, not doing enough, not having enough time with the person, and perhaps even feeling jealous of the person who is caring for them. Maybe they want to be that person, but just cannot do that. Many long-distance caregivers also find that worrying about being able to afford the time off from work, maybe, or being away from their family, you know, their family has a lot going on, or even sometimes the cost of travel in itself increases these frustrations. But remember that you are doing the best you can, and given the circumstances that you're in, you can only do what you can do. It may also help to know that these are feelings shared by many other long-distance caregivers, and you're not alone. So as a primary caregiver, maybe you're asking yourself, what can you do from afar? It may be something as simple as, you know, a large project that you can help them with from afar, or maybe something as simple as paying their monthly bills. Maybe all the bills are sent to you and you pay those for them. Or maybe it's helping keep track of doctor's visits and meds, can really be helpful for the main caretaker. But again, you have to stay in constant communication with that primary caregiver. You know, take care of yourself. Consider joining a caregiver support group, maybe either in your own community if you have one, or there's lots online which are really helpful. Meeting other caregivers can relieve your sense of isolation and give you a chance to exchange stories and ideas. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask for it. Caregiving is not easy for everyone, not for caregivers and not for the care recipient. There are sacrifices and adjustments for everyone. When you don't live near the care that is needed, it may be especially hard to feel that what you're doing is enough and that what you're doing is important. But remember, it often is. If you are not doing what you are doing from afar to maybe help that person, whether close or far away, someone else would have to do it, and it takes many hands to do light work. You know, everyone has those adjustments, and I don't think any of us probably think, I want a younger child or a niece or nephew to help to take care of me, but sometimes that's what happens, and so you know, we need to also be, as the caregiver, honest with the care recipient and their thoughts and feelings when they're being cared for. It is often said by caregivers that they have had to give up something. I've heard that many times, that they used to enjoy, whether it's maybe playing cards or lunch out with friends. But remember, you don't have to. Maybe you need to look at your schedule if you're the main caretaker. And yes, it may not look the same, but you know, maybe every day the recipient that you're caring for goes down about 2 o'clock. And maybe that's the time that they come over. You know, you have a friend or two over to play some cards, or you can sit on your front porch and catch up and visit like you used to. It may not be over lunch, or maybe they bring you lunch, whatever that is, but you're still able to fill your cup a little bit while not leaving the recipient if you don't have the good respite care that you might need. Also, talk about caregiving responsibilities. Try to define those responsibilities. You could start by setting up maybe a family meeting if that's what it takes, and include the care recipient, if at all possible, in that discussion. This is best done, of course, when it's not an emergency and everyone can remain calm about what kind of care is wanted and needed for now and what might be needed in the future to help avoid some of that confusion that might come along with some of those decisions. Also, decide who will be responsible for which tasks. Many families find the best way to step to the first step is to name a primary caregiver. If they do not have one, this is why the primary caregiver can step in if there's a crisis. You know, if something goes wrong and someone else is supposed to take care of it, that primary caregiver can step in and kind of always knows what's going on with the recipient. And agree that, you know, in advance how each of your efforts can complement one another and that you can be an effective team. Ideally, you'll want to pick the tasks that are best suited for your skills and interests. So you might consider your strengths when caring for, when deciding on the caring responsibilities, and ask yourself, for example, are you good at finding information, keeping up to date on changing conditions, whether on phone or on a computer? You know, if you're not that person, then don't volunteer for that. But maybe you are good at supervising and leading others. Maybe you're comfortable speaking with medical staff and interpreting what they say to others. You know, maybe your strongest suit is doing by numbers, paying bills, keeping track of bank statements, and, you know, reviewing insurance policies and reimbursement reports. That is also very important and needs done. You also might think about your limitations when sharing responsibilities and ask yourself, how often, both mentally and financially, can you afford to travel? You know, sometimes there's many doctor's appointments that you need to travel back and forth to, or travel to and from the recipient's house. And are you emotionally prepared to take on what might feel like a reversal role between you and your parent or aunt or uncle or whoever you're caring for? You know, sometimes some people just cannot do that, but they can handle the finances. You know, ask yourself, can you be calm and assertive when communicating from a distance? You know, how are you best communicating with others? And will that be a good fit for you? Also, how will your decision to take on as caregiving responsibilities affect your work and home life? You know, you always have to look at, will I still be able to care for this recipient and deal with what I need to on the home front? And maybe you're not able to do it all. So maybe you want to pick something that will suit your personality and where you're at in your stage of life. But above all else, be realistic about how you can do what you can do. Be realistic about how much you can do and what you can do. Be realistic about how much you can do and what you are willing to do. Think about your schedule, how it might look adapting to give respite to a primary caregiver. For example, you might try coordinating holiday and vacation times. But remember that over time, responsibilities may need to be revisited to reflect changes in the situation, both for yours and the recipient's needs, and each family's ability for those limitations. So, you know, just do what you can do to help spread out the caregiving responsibilities, and so the person that you are caring for can be remain in their home and receive the best care that they possibly can. So for more information on caregiving support and resources, always feel free to contact the Frontier Extension District at 785-828-4438.
Again, very important to make sure not you take care of yourself as well. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6:40, Meridian Extension District 4-H Agent Carla Hightower.